Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gwen and Chris can talk all they want about football, but they've never played it. They enlisted former Charger and Dolphin Greg Camarillo to provide us with insight from the gridiron. It's time to get the player perspective on 97.3 The Fan.
And Greg Camarillo has provided not only great insight, but funny insight.
My man is in here looking sharp today, too.
Yeah.
Burgundy pants.
Good to have him in studio today.
Like dressed for the radio. You know?
That's always smart to do. You never can tell when they might need a photo. And look, we needed a photo. You're looking sharp, Greg. Thanks for coming in. And thanks for everything you've done for us all year. I think it's been a lot of fun for us and the listeners to get your insight, National Football League. We opened with the Chargers and Phillip Rivers completing 25 passes in a row yesterday. And then we said, why didn't he just call a little flip pass for 26? You know what I mean? But I think it speaks to Phillip Rivers. He didn't even think about the record. He just keeps wanting to win games. You got to respect a guy like that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I was listening to the conversation on my drive in, listening to you guys, and you were 100% right. Phillip's not concerned about breaking that record. He's broken so many records, that would just be one small thing on his list. But he wants to win, and whatever it takes to win. And the funny thing was, pass 26 was actually going to be a little check down that should have a 90% completion rate, but it fell short. Pass 25 was something special with Phillip running, which is awkward, and it's in and of itself. But then Keenan Allen with an amazing play of just getting those toes down. That's receiving beauty and quarterbacking beauty. And that was great to get tie the record with a catch like that.
One of the other big storylines this week was, and it's not necessarily because these two teams are good, but because of the characters that are on these two teams. Jacksonville, Buffalo, you had Jalen Ramsey going up against Josh Allen, who he called trash. What was your take in that game?
It's fun to watch some competition. So first of all, Jalen Ramsey is the stereotype of a DB, but pretty much a true stereotype. 90% of DBs just run their mouths. It doesn't matter if it's fact or fiction. They just want to run their mouths. And that's what he did. It was just a GQ article. So his job was to run his mouth and get attention. So he was going to call people trash. That's cool. No problem. But then to play that team and then not win and be treated like he was the trash, that's what's fun to see. And you like to see a little fire from a rookie quarterback. And Buffalo, of all places, they need it.
Yeah, no, I think that says.
I think it pumped Buffalo up just a little, gave them a little edge in that game because they played well yesterday for them.
Everybody played with an edge on that team.
The fun part was when
the fight that happened between
that was what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
when those two guys got kicked out of the game and had to go down the same tunnel together to go back to the locker room.
One thing I do want to discuss is why are two men throwing punches with helmets on and pads on?
Wait, how about this though? Fournette actually pointed him out. Put his helmet on, and now let's fight.
Yeah.
This is the way it's supposed to be.
You're
going to
break a hand before you hurt the other person. You play a sport where it is legal to go beat someone up.
Right.
Hit him with your pads. Don't try to punch him in the helmet.
Yeah, that thing almost spilled over into the crowd a little bit, too, and I got a little – that was a crazy scene there in Buffalo yesterday. Little weird in Cleveland – or in Cincinnati, I guess. Cleveland won the game in Cincinnati, but Baker Mayfield – reuniting with his old coach Hugh Jackson. Where do you come down on this?
I want to hear your take on this.
I feel bad for Hugh Jackson. I'm not in the business normally of feeling bad for these guys.
Yeah.
But he put a lot of work in on this Cleveland Browns team, and now they're starting to win a couple of games, and then everybody's kind of making him feel bad about it.
Yeah, so let's not feel bad for coaches that have guaranteed contracts. They get fired, and then they make millions of dollars not doing their job. Not a problem. You're a high-risk, high-reward business. So
not doing their job.
Hugh is getting paid, and like any job, if you get fired, it is totally fine to go work for the opposing team.
Sure.
I was traded from Miami to Minnesota. Not fired, traded. We played each other, I think, 2 or 3 weeks later. I wanted nothing more than to beat my former team. Not ill will. I didn't hate those guys. I was upset with the GM
right,
at the moment.
Sure. You felt some type
but
of
way. Yeah. I would have given him the same awkward handshake that, right. that we saw at the end of the Cleveland game. But you want nothing more than to beat the other guy. And for that 60 minutes, he is your enemy. Before buddies, after buddies, but during that time, we're fighting. We're playing.
Yeah, as I said to Chris, I didn't have a problem with the awkward handshake. Like, I can totally understand you still coming down. You're not really wanting to, you know, hug up, dap up your old coach. But it was the words that seemed to bother me after the game. It seemed like it was unnecessary. And I told Chris, there's a chance we don't know everything that happened, but it seemed a little a little extra.
It seemed like a rookie move.
Yes.
You know, he'll learn that the business of people coming and going, it happens so much. It might even be him, especially with Cleveland and quarterbacks. He may come and go too. But it's you know, he's young. He'll learn that side of the business. But what it does tell me is that he didn't always like Hugh Jackson when that was his coach.
Right. Here's Baker talking about Hugh Jackson.
Didn't feel like talking.
You or him?
Me. Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel.
That sounds like a man who just came out of college.
Your
right?
spin was poor.
but also, it was respectful. He wasn't talking bad about Hugh. He didn't like it, and he let it be known. But you're right. It's a rookie who's more used to the college atmosphere, where it's more about loyalty. When in the pros, it's not.
One in which he showed no loyalty going from Texas to Oklahoma. I won't get into that. I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. Right, it's very rare that we see him in this state where his team isn't like on the cusp of getting into the playoffs, and it pretty much got a win out. He said as much after the game yesterday. You think he can pull it off this year?
I don't think so. It's because of that division. Last year, when the Packers were having issues, what did Aaron Rodgers say? Like, just relax and have a scotch or something like that.
Right.
We're not getting that vibe this year. There's not that same relax. They are relying on him to win every game. And it's just too much. You can't rely on a quarterback to do everything. And it's not working. In past years, the division hasn't been as strong. They could sneak into the playoffs. I don't see it happening this year. Minnesota's good. The Bears are looking real good. And then Detroit could sneak up and win a game or two.
Yeah. And they have a good running back, Aaron Jones. They don't want to seem to get him. They got him the ball a couple of weeks ago, and they won that game. But then it was back to Rodgers last night trying to spray it all around against Minnesota.
He seems like he's starting –
I will say this.
It's been that way a while where they've used him solely to win games. It does seem like it's starting to frustrate him now.
Yeah, and I don't think he has the weapons that he's had in the past. And, you know, you're asking this guy, well, you're paying him a lot to get it done, but you're also asking him to get it done, and it's just not happening.
A guy that is getting it done, and I think rather quietly, really, because, you know, you're talking about the teams in the AFC, and you're certainly talking about Mahomes and the Chiefs, and you're always talking about the Steelers and the Patriots. But Andrew Luck, who has come back from wherever he was.
People thought he was finished.
Yeah. And pretty much gave up on him. And back to an Indianapolis team that, granted, has given him a tremendous offensive line. I think he got sacked yesterday for the first time in a month and a half. But not exactly an all-star receiver crew. T.Y. Hilton's pretty good. But he leads his team back yesterday. And all of a sudden, now the Colts are sitting on a playoff spot. Greg, you feel pretty good for a guy like Andrew Luck.
Yeah, especially because he's a Stanford guy, and I'm a Stanford guy,
so
I'm cheering all Andrew Luck, which was hard watching my former team, the Dolphins, get beat by him. But Andrew Luck has fully recovered. When you go through an injury, it takes time, not just the timeline to get back on the field, but a timeline to get back to being yourself. And that's what we saw early on. You know, he was still adjusting to his shoulder. He didn't have the deep ball, didn't have the same power behind his arm. Now the team is rolling, and Chris, I think you nailed it. It's the offensive line. They've invested draft picks, money on an offensive line, and when you can keep a quarterback upright, when you can keep his eyes downfield, he can find not even the greatest receivers, not a great tight end, but he can find those weapons and make things happen.
Yeah. He's certainly driving the ball down the football field a little bit more than earlier in the season. I want to get your opinion on the MVP race, right? Obviously, Mahomes is a guy that everybody's been talking about. But Drew Brees has been right there pretty much all years. Goff is another one. Gurley's another one. Who do you think right now sits atop the leaderboard?
All right, so if you'd have asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have been.
I think I did ask you two
yes,
weeks ago.
And I was all over the ball. Yeah, right. Exactly. Good memory. That's a baseball memory compared to a football memory.
I haven't been hitting the head as much, so you're good. You're
much safer. 2 weeks ago, I would have been all over the Mahomes bandwagon and still think he's an amazing player. But the biggest difference is what you do late in the season. After Thanksgiving, that push you make when the games get harder, when people are targeting you, and Drew Brees right now seems to have his team on the upswing. The Chiefs started out strong. They still are strong. They look great. But the Saints are improving.
Yeah.
And talk about a quarterback that doesn't have well-known weapons. I mean, Alvin Kamara, yes. Yeah. But his receivers are guys, I think the last game they played, or 2 weeks ago, they had three dudes catch their very first NFL touchdown.
Right.
I think he's thrown a touchdown to 13 different guys this year. And I'm a little bit upset I haven't caught one. Because he's flipping it to everybody.
He flips it to everybody. Yeah. And a little side story about that is when I was playing in New Orleans, I was a total backup. So I was just a guy, just in case someone got hurt, they would bring me and throw me in the game. I caught passes in one game against the Chargers, Saints versus Chargers. I ended up with four catches. Could have been six. I fell down on one looking like an old man because I was old at that point in my career. But that just shows an example. I'm barely practicing. I'm coming basically from the airport straight to the game. And Drew Brees finds me and fits me into the offense. And I was by no means a receiving threat at that point. And so as long as you are willing to work into that offense, Drew Brees will find you and use that offense and make you a weapon.
He doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to matter to him who's running the route. He knows where all six guys are going to be, and he seems to be the quickest quarterback at finding the open of the six.
To speak on that a little bit, I know that to be true because at Fitness Quest, where Drew works out, there was a kid made by the name of Marcus Clark, and Drew invests not only in the guys who he knows he's throwing to, but the practice squad guys. I mean, that's where Marcus Clark was. He was on the practice squad, went out, showed well, and he got on the roster because of it. But he works out not just his best receiver. He works out the two, the three, the four, the practice guy. He has a good vibe with all of his receivers, whether they're the number one receiver or not.
He's going to make sure everybody's on the same page. Communication is key. And one thing Drew does that I haven't seen from other quarterbacks is, Chris, kind of like you pointed out about him knowing where everyone is. In practice, when he makes a throw, as soon as he throws the ball,
he finishes his progressions.
He points out the rest of his progression. So he throws the ball to his first read. He points to his second read, his third read, and then his dump down running back. So every play in practice, he knows, even in walkthroughs, he knows exactly what three, four people he's looking at in the order he's looking at them.
Real quick, you mentioned it a little bit before you expanded on trees there. Why is it once December hits, does the game seem to get a lot tougher for everybody?
The fight for the playoffs, the push for the playoffs, you realize at this point that literally every play has an impact on if you make the playoffs or not. And also, teams are targeting you. So you know you're playing the Saints. They're one of the best teams. We're going to give everything we got to beating the Saints. So we're going to put it all out there. And so when you combine the pressure of the playoffs with being chased as one of the best teams, the competition just gets a little tighter.
Do you feel that in the games? Like, is it a noticeable difference playing in a game in December than it is playing
absolutely.
In...
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially when you know you're on the verge of elimination. And we've seen, I guess, with the Steelers, they've had two games that have come down to it at the wire. They lost one this week, won one last week. And that little bit, just that they were a yard or two away and Ben threw an interception, just that little bit is something that can keep you out of the playoffs or can keep you away from home field advantage and make you, say, go up to Foxborough and play the Patriots, which you don't want to do.
No, yeah. Nobody does.
I can't imagine NFL games getting a whole lot more intense than they already are, but I know they do in December, and then they take another step in January, and that's where these guys really earn their money. We haven't had a chance to talk to you, Greg, since the Chief-Ram game last Monday night.
Yeah.
As a former wide receiver, you've got to love. We've talked about the fact that there are no rules governing defensive backs to
no
guard
touching.
You.
No touching.
No touching. No breathing. Nothing. No anything. But what was your reaction as you watched that game unfold last Monday night?
So I actually teach a class at USD on Monday nights, and so I haven't been able to fully invest in a Monday night football game. It just so happened to be that our midterm exam was that Monday night, so I got to sit there and watch the whole game while the students were taking the test, and I couldn't have been happier. If the student would ask and raise their hand to ask a question, well, what do you mean on question number three? And I would look at them annoyed, like,
dude, don't be interrupting my
question
game
right now. I'm busy. Watching this game. So I was ecstatic that I got to watch it, and I loved it. Who didn't want to watch that game and enjoy the excitement, the back and forth? And not only do we have 100 points, more than 100 points, there were defensive touchdowns. Yeah. We're not just talking about, like, that was a good sack. Sack, fumble, touchdown, yeah, interception,
there were
touchdown.
Three of those.
And it's just fun. It was exciting, and what a great environment for a game that was moved, put together at the last minute, and to have all the fanfare, all the excitement, and then to have that many points, it was awesome.
We had Kirk Morrison on last weekend, and I asked him about that. I was like, once the offense is that dominant, and you can't really do anything from a defensive back position, as a lineman or linebacker getting to the quarterback, is it not just about the sack no more? It becomes about getting the ball out of his hands because you want to participate in scoring like everybody else, I would assume.
Absolutely. Party in the backfield. And DBs have a tough job, man. And so the pass rush is that much more important, but also just hitting a guy. You know, if Mahomes takes off with the ball and runs, hit him. If you can get a hit, as long as
you get that in his
hit,
head a little
you
bit.
You got to get it. And just that little extra hit can take that a little flinch out of a quarterback, and that could be the difference in a big play.
You can't hit him. I mean, I know yesterday Andrew Luck slid in on one, and they threw a flag. The guy didn't even hit him. So
yeah, and then they threw a pass to Andrew Luck, and he got blasted. That's there.
Then they called that one, too.
Yeah.
Why are they calling a pass for a guy who's been injured the whole year finally looks healthy?
Yeah, it's, it forces
well,
you
I don't
you
think they called that play. I'll go back. I know what you're talking about. When they line Luck up as a receiver.
He threw it too high. Andrew Luck had to jump for it.
But it was fourth and one. Body. It was actually, believe it or not, I think a smart play by the cornerback who was covering Andrew Luck, who figured they're never going to throw the ball to him, so he just blitzed. And Brissett really had nothing else to do but to throw it to Andrew Luck because he was wide open.
Yeah.
But he laid him out, and the safety laid him out, but he hung on to it. That was a key play as a fourth down play.
Greg, do you think there is danger in watering down football with this all this offense?
The one thing I don't like are the rules that are basically eliminating big hits. You know, and I understand you're trying to make the game safer, but at some point you need to understand it's not easy for a defender. If I'm a DB and I'm coming to hit a receiver and he happens to duck at the last second and I hit his head, that's not the defender's fault.
No.
That's the receiver's fault. And this is coming from a receiver who wants to be as protected as possible. Put a bubble around me.
Right.
But it's just not fair sometimes. You got to play at full speed. And to tell a guy, you know, for a receiver that's moving around, you can't hit him in certain places. It's too hard to play defense as it is and then to get these penalties and then to take cash out of your pocket for something that's just too hard to avoid.
Now, I believe we've asked you this. Were you one of the receivers that – which did you prefer, getting hit high or getting hit low?
Oh, man, hit me low.
Hit you low.
Yeah, you can repair a knee. You can't repair a brain.
No.
And it's
I mean, because that was some of the sticking points for some of the players as they've been making these changes. I'd rather be hit low. I'd rather be hit high.
Just hit me in the chest. That'll work.
I mean, ideally, I like you hit me in the middle of my
body. I would much rather you just hit me in the legs than my head. But, that's a hard thing, man. A DB job is a hard job.
Yeah, it's almost impossible right now in the NFL. But Greg Camarillo, fantastic. Always talking NFL with you on Mondays. It's been a blast all season. We look forward to doing it as we head into December.
He blessed us with his presence today, too.
That was really nice, yeah. Do you have a test tonight? Or is there a class tonight?
We have a
you
class
actually
tonight,
can't watch so the Monday night game
there
tonight?
There will be no watching from me.
No
actually,
Monday night
I actually
game
have
tonight.
To teach some things tonight.
I can't believe he was sitting there watching the game while they were taking a test.
What class teaching again?
It is sports and higher education. It's a class for our first year student athletes to get them adjusted, ready for college to become leaders on campus and in their sport.
And USD's student athletes, I think, are all kind of made from that cloth.
They are. They
so
are. I hate to admit
you hate
that,
to admit
but
it.
They are. They definitely.
I can't
are.
Ever get Tony to ever say anything nice about USD, but I give it my
good.
Best
we
shot.
We got a little rivalry, crosstown rivalry.
Greg, teaching a class or taking or going over the middle in the NFL?
Oh. Yikes! They both
They both have their pitfalls.
Man, you both get hit. You get random things that hit you and get you off key. Let's go with preparing for a class.
Really?
It is hard. So first of all, it's a 2-hour and 50-minute class, and it is hard to keep someone's attention from 7 to 9:50 p.m. I'll tell you that. People are asleep, they're tired from practice, and I got to try to keep their attention and teach them something.
One quick question before you go. I got to ask you, you're a Stanford guy.
Yes, sir.
Most, with the exception of maybe two of the Stanford baseball players, are different birds. Did you notice this at all at Stanford at all?
Most, if not the exception of two Stanford students, are different birds.
Okay.
We're cut from a different cloth. Sometimes it's an awkward cloth. And, that's just how it is. But when you're a slightly awkward person like that, a combination of nerd and athlete, which we take pride in, you feel at home around other nerds and athletes.
So, I love the way you answered that. We're
a different breed, but we take pride in it.
I would have liked to have been a nerd and an athlete and had a chance to go to Stanford.
Me and you both.
That wouldn't have been so bad.
Wouldn't have turned it down. That's
Greg, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up to you in a week or two.
All right. Thank you, fellas.
Greg Camarillo in studio today talking National Football League. We still have a half hour to go. Big Five is coming up.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.